Again, bid you welcome and express appreciation for your beer. And again, we say it so often, don't say it sincerely. It's just good, good to get together. So appreciate your attendance very, very much. Again, on the back of the bulletin, there's an outline if you'd like to follow along with the lesson this morning. Very familiar text that was read to us this morning. So we're going to talk about Ananias. Sometimes when we read the Bible or when people read the Bible, they think people in God's book are pretty special, and they are in a sense. But sometimes people look at Bible people as being different than you and me. Or they think, they have stronger faith than me. Or maybe they have a deeper conviction. They have a better understanding than me. They're not like me. And the result is they come to look on these Bible people as spiritual superstars and not just ordinary people like you and me. So we're going to take a look at one of those people. And I want you to see that they are, at least in the story today, Ananias, he's a lot like you and me. God wanted a task done, calls on this man to do it. Someone, again, just like you and me. Saul of Tarsus, we're familiar with him in the story, and he has this encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians or the church. And then he has this bright light, he has that encounter, and he needs help from his disciples to take him into Damascus. He's told, go into the city and it'll be told you what you must do. So now, here he is in the story, waiting to see what the Lord's going to do next. And the Lord sends Ananias to him. At first glance, we might think Ananias is going to be a superhero, a great person of faith, and he is. But a closer look, and again, the lesson I want to present, he's a man just like you and me. Usually, when we read this story, the focus is on Saul of Tarsus, later to become the Apostle Paul. But I want to put the focus on Ananias. Four things to look at the text. First of all, Ananias was a ready and willing disciple. Oh, that's me. But then second, he was hesitant. Well, that's me too. Yeah, you want me to do what? Then number three, but I'm going to put my trust and obedience in the Lord. All right, I'll do that too. And then God blesses my task. Oh, I see. So let's take each of these in turn. Number one, Ananias is a willing servant. The Lord spoke to him in verse 10 of the text. He said, behold, here I am, or I'm here, Lord. So it begins with an attitude of, I'm ready, I'm willing, I'll volunteer for the task. Lord, you spoke, and here I am. My hand goes up. Yep. The Lord is saying in so many words, will you help me, Ananias? And he said, he would reply, well, sure, of course, I'll help you, Lord. What do you need? And that's the way many of us are too. Yep, we'll say, here am I, Lord. I'm here. When someone asks us of anything, they may ask, will you help me? And our answer is, sure, what is it? What do you need? We want to be helpers. We're just like Ananias. And we may even add to our response, if I can, sure, you can count on me. And even sometimes when people want to be helpers and assist those in need, even when they're not even asked, and they'll say, if you'd have asked me, I would have done that. We're like Ananias. Hear my Lord. What do you need? Call me if you need something, we say. I'm ready. I'm on standby. Call me. So we're just like Ananias. Hear my Lord. Then number two, Ananias wanted to back out. It's in verse 13. Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard by many of this man." In other words, God said, "I want you to go to Saul." Remember, he's on his way to persecute the Christian church. Ananias said, "Oh, wait a minute. You want me to do what? I've heard by many of this man. And how much evil he's done to the saints in Jerusalem. And he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on him." Uh-oh. So Ananias now presents the objections. "Oh, you want me to do what? Saul is here to harm people, God. And you want me to walk into his place and put myself in harm's way?" Oh, the objection sounds kind of reasonable. Ananias, if I could put words in his mouth, I'd say, "God, you don't know what you're asking. You want me to do what?" Wow. And it's amazing. Here Ananias starts out as a man so willing. "Here am I, Lord." And then he's so hesitant to do what the Lord wants. Again, I can see myself in that situation. I love to trust the Lord. Yep, hand goes up again. Present myself before him. Count on me. But then when I hear what's requested, I almost want to start presenting my arguments on why I can't do it. I want to say, "God, you don't know what you're asking." Or, "God, you don't know what I'm already involved in my life. You don't know the problems I have. You want me to go do something? You want me to minister? You want me to serve? You want me to do that task? Are you sure? Can you change the request?" That's what Ananias is doing. "God, I've heard about this man you want me to go to." Now, put in your notes, just kind of an aside. You see, we're a lot like this man, just like Moses, too. God told Moses, made a request. In Exodus 3, verse 4, Moses said, "Here I am." In verse 10, he said, "All right, Moses, come now, therefore. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh." Moses gives four objections. "I can't do that. Pharaoh? You know who he is and what Pharaoh can do to me? You want me to go to Pharaoh?" Moses said. In verse 11, Moses said, "Who am I that I should go?" God answered every objection, just like he did with Ananias. Every objection Moses put up, God said, "On that first one, I'll go with you." Moses said, "Okay." I have another objection. In verse 13 of Exodus chapter 3, what shall I say to them? You want me to go and preach the gospel to somebody? I don't know what to say. God says, "This is what you'll say." Oh, okay. Well, all right, well, I have something else in mind. In chapter 4, verse 1, Moses said, "Oh, well, they won't believe me. They won't hearken to my voice. And they'll say, oh, the Lord hasn't appeared to you." And then God does some miraculous things for Moses to convince him. And then Moses puts up a fourth objection in chapter 4, Exodus 4, verse 10. "Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent." And God said, "I'll be with your mouth." Every objection Moses put up on why he couldn't obey the Lord's command, God answered. Same thing with Ananias going to Saul. Ananias starts out, "Here am I, Lord, count on me." "Oh, you want me to do what?" My objection is, God, have you heard about this man? God tells us to do something, and we want to bring out the objections. Acts 2, verse 38 says, "Repent and be baptized." Oh, is there another way? Is there a plan B? Oh, this teacher over here is telling me something else. I'm going to listen to him because I don't like what this preacher says. Oh. God says, "Love or pray for those that persecute you," and we want to throw up the objection. I say, "No, they're mean to me. I'm not going to love them, pray for them." And the list could go on. Attend a Bible class, worship assembly. Oh my, God, you want me to do what? Serve? Minister? Call on others? Oh my. Started out, Lord, here am I, count on me. You want me to lend a hand? You want me to visit? You want me to get involved? Then we start making our objections, don't we? I can't do that. Make a sacrifice of my time or my talent? Really? You know what's on television at 10:30 a Sunday morning? Put our objections out there. That's what Ananias, just like you and me. Number three, Ananias. Oh, he changes, doesn't he? Now he's obeying in verse 17. Ananias went his way and entered into the house. So now the Lord has replied to, and I didn't put these in your notes, but he's replied to all of Ananias' objections. He's a chosen vessel, Ananias. So God answers the arguments that Ananias presents. Convinces Ananias that the task would benefit many people. It's a very short explanation, but God is saying, Ananias, my hand is in this, and it needs to be done. Oh, all the arguments have been answered. But you see, God didn't write off Ananias as a lost cause. He gives Ananias another opportunity, just like he does us. That's an important observation. After all of our objections not to obey, God still wants us in his service. See that in the lesson of the story? Even if we make our objections and argue for months or years or even decades, God still comes back to us and says, I want you to obey. Yeah. And that's a great part in the story. And certainly in the story, after the objections, and after God answers the objections, Ananias goes to Saul. I can imagine Ananias knocking on this door of the man that he's heard so much about. You know, he persecutes the church, God. And I'm not the only one that thinks that. You know, I've heard by many about this man. I wonder what he's thinking. Is this man going to arrest me? Is this man going to put me in jail? Is he going to persecute me? Am I on his list? But Ananias, now in this point number three in the story, has the courage to obey. He puts his trust in the Lord and he does what God says. Some illustrations. Preach the gospel to somebody and they may say, you know, their objection. You know, nobody in my family has been baptized. And you want me to be baptized? It's going to take some courage for that single individual to break the tradition of the family. God, I may lose family and friends. You know, the objections are presented. But that's what God is asking us to do. The blessings of obedience are worth it. So another illustration might be when God gives us a task, you know, my neighbor or work associate may not be easy to love, but I need to stop arguing with God and treat them right, because that's what we're supposed to do. God's going to answer all of our objections on why we can't do what he says to do. I need to always be Christian in my attitude and in my action, even when it's hard, and it will be many times. See, Ananias is just like you and me. Number one, he says, here I am, Lord. Then he says, you want me to do what? Number two. You want me to do what? Then number three, he obeys. He puts his faith and his trust in God because all the objections are answered. Then number four, he's blessed. He's blessed. It's in verses 17 and 18. Saul, God says to him, or Ananias says to Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared to you in the way that you came, has sent me. And then Ananias begins to tell him what to do, what he must do. And then it says, the verse continues in verse 18, he receives his sight, he arose and was baptized. And when Paul retells his story in Acts chapter 22, he says, Ananias said to me, what are you waiting for? Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. I can imagine the look on Ananias' face when Saul obeys the request. Oh, this man that I've heard so much about, this man that persecutes the church, he listened to my presentation. He's baptized. This attacker of Christians surrenders to the Lord and is baptized. So Ananias completes the task that God gave him, and he's blessed. So like Ananias, the lesson is we must see God's hand in our work. So I put in your notes, very familiar text, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 5. Who is Paul? Who's Apollos? But they're ministers. They're ministers, just like you, me. They're ministers, even ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted. Apollos watered. But God gave the increase. You see Ananias in that? Ananias, what are you going to do? Oh, here am I, Lord. You want me to do what? Okay, I'll go. Good to bargain. And Saul is baptized. Ananias just planted. He watered. And God gave the injury. Fade. He did what God wanted. And he has to know that it wasn't just God had a hand in bringing Saul into the kingdom. He experienced success because he trusted and obeyed God. And that's important when you look at that process. It starts, as the outline is presented, it starts with a willing person who wants to obey God. Here I am. It continues even though your faith may be weak or you want to argue with God, especially when you find out what the task is. But you find success when you, as a person of faith, act on it and obey. And even though Ananias didn't relish the task of going to the enemy, his obedience made all the difference in Saul's life. And Saul's obedience made a difference in the lives of countless thousands because of his willingness to hear Ananias' message and believe and obey. Ananias goes to Saul. Saul becomes the Apostle Paul, the missionary that teaches thousands and thousands. Ananias teaches one. Ananias achieved, again, because he trusted in God. That was God's desire for him, and he goes to Saul. The lesson, one other lesson in this is don't dismiss your abilities. Don't dismiss the opportunity that you have. Just preach the word and minister to others. I want you to do more than just listen to the task that's before us. I want you to do it. I want you to do it. Trust and obey. If you're not a Christian, I want you to do the same. Stop the objections and trust and obey. you're not a Christian, just simply hear God's message. Jesus' last word them so often. Listen. In Matthew 28, the closing verses, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. So he tells his disciples, you go into all the world. You don't leave anybody out. Here's the task. Their hand goes up. I'm going. Make disciples or teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And though I'm with you, answer the objections. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark records it in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world or preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that doesn't believe will be condemned. So that's the message we preach. And that's the message we teach. And we're just like Ananias. Yeah. Have my objections. You want me to do what? But I'll do it. And you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed in your doing. Let's stand together and sing the song. If you need to respond in a public way, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, simply let it be known at the close of this song.